This morning we continue our series on emotionally healthy spirituality. If you haven't caught the first three sessions in the series, they're on our website and YouTube channel, details of which you can see on your screen. I recommend that you listen to them. The book, also called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, accompanies this series, and you can get it from most booksellers, in shops, or online. And again, I recommend it to you. Today, we're looking at the Christian life as a journey. That's one of my favorite metaphors for the Christian life, as we travel through life and as we travel towards God. Journeys involve action. They involve movement. They involve stops and starts. They involve detours and delays, trips into the unknown. It's a great picture of life and the life of faith. God called Abraham at the age of 75 to leave his past life in Ur and embark on a journey. God called Moses from a burning bush to begin a new phase of his journey at the age of 80. God called the Israelites to leave Egypt and embark on a 40-year journey of personal transformation in the desert. God called David to leave the comforts of his job as a shepherd to conquer Goliath and serve as king of Israel. God called Jeremiah to 40 or 50 years of difficult work, standing firm for God's values in the midst of a rebellious people. Jesus called the 12 disciples to a journey that would change their lives forever. Judas, however, grew disillusioned and got stuck along the way. He couldn't imagine what Jesus was up to, especially in surrendering himself to the authorities to be crucified. He could not see how anything good could emerge out of the disintegration of their powerful Palestinian ministry that was helping so many people. Jesus' plan offended Judas. Judas' stuckness, not sure if that's a word, I don't think it's in the dictionary, but you know what I mean. Judas' stuckness eventually resulted in him quitting Jesus Christ altogether, resulting in perhaps history's saddest account of a wasted opportunity. We might say of a wasted life. I meet many people today who are stuck. Some have dropped out of the journey altogether. Sadly, they fail to see the larger picture of the transformational work God is seeking to do in them when they hit the hard place, when difficult circumstances of life come along and they're not sure what to do next. Some call this the wall. The ancients called it the dark night of the soul. Failure to understand the nature of this hard place to be leads to long-term pain and confusion. But instead, receiving the gift of God here transforms our life forever. We allow God to do that transformational work in our life that takes us through the wall and beyond. We're familiar, aren't we, with the term the wall? I remember Dee used it when she was training for the marathon, that, you know, at a certain distance or after a certain time, you'd hit the wall, that difficult place that you had to just keep on pressing on. It was hard work, you wanted to give up, but if you pressed on, the reward would be yours and the difficulties would pass. It would become a little bit easier, not a lot, a little bit easier again. This is our understanding of a spiritual wall, of an emotional wall, of walls that we bash into in life as life hits us sometimes as well. For this, we need to have an understanding of the stages of faith. Where does this wall fit into stages of faith, into our faith, into our life, into what God is doing in our lives? Our journey of faith has recognizable stages of maturity. It's helpful to know them, to get some measure of where we are. Ideally, we're moving through these as our relationship with God and his world develops over time. We can get stuck at various stages. The most common is this hard place called the wall. Let's briefly look at these stages to see if we can identify where we are on this continuum. Well, the first stage, of course, is that life-changing awareness of God that we get for the first time. This stage, whether in our childhood or our adulthood, is the beginning of our spiritual journey. I remember lying in my bedroom as a teenager saying, "God, if you're real, show me in some way." All I can say is that at that moment I sensed an incredible love, an incredible acceptance that gave me a physically warm glow. From that moment, my life changed. Stage one, life-changing awareness of God. Stage two, discipleship. This is when we learn about God and what it means to follow the life and the teaching of Jesus Christ. We become part of the Christian community and begin to get rooted in the disciplines of faith, like reading our Bible and praying and so on. Discipleship. Stage three is the active life. This is the doing stage. We get involved, actively working for God, serving him, serving his people, serving the wider world in God's name. The active life. Stage four, the wall and the journey inward. And this is where it gets a bit tougher, isn't it? The wall and the journey inward are closely related. We may hit a wall, bringing a crisis of faith, and we may then journey inward to sort out our inner life, what's going on inside of us. Or sometimes, when we take the mature and difficult journey of sorting out our inner life, we may meet the wall. In both cases, it's God who brings us to this point. Stage five is the journey outward again. Having passed through maybe a crisis of faith and the intense inner journey necessary to go through the wall, we begin once more to move outward, to do again for God. But this may not be the same things we were doing before. Maybe at that point of crisis and that deepening relationship with God, that deeper understanding of ourselves and the transformation that God's done in us, we may feel called to do something else. Or it may be that we continue to do the things that we were doing before. The difference is that we now give out of a new grounded centering of ourselves in God. A deep inner stillness now begins to characterize our work for God, rather than perhaps the frantic or frenetic activity we did before, sometimes trying to please God when God doesn't need pleasing. He just needs our love and our obedience. Stage six, transformed into love. God continually sends events, circumstances, people, books, even sermons into our lives to keep us moving forward on our journey. God is determined to complete the work he has begun in us. It's ultimately very good news, even though the process may be at times painful. It's how Christ's self-giving love becomes our love, both towards God and towards others. We realize that love truly is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. By this stage, the perfect love of God has driven out all fear. We know that, don't we, from the Bible. That's 1 John 4, verse 18. Perfect love casts out, drives out all fear. Having talked about stages, actually, I prefer the notion of seasons of life. We don't control the seasons, do we? They happen regardless of whether we want them to or not. They just happen to us. For most of us, the wall appears through a crisis that turns our world upside down. This can be through the death of a family member. It can be through the breakdown of a marriage. It can be through a job loss. It can be through a challenging child. It can be through disillusionment with our life or our life with God. It can be through dreams unfulfilled. Do you know, I've been sat alongside people through all of those events in the last few weeks. We may discover that our faith doesn't appear to work. We may have more questions than we do answers all of a sudden. It may be piling up of a number of things that has caused our crisis. The old formulas of faith don't seem to be working anymore, and you have to choose either to go through the wall or to turn back. Or there may be some time waiting at the wall, and that can be a painful place to be. We may feel that the doorway to God has been shut. We may feel that he is silent. We may feel bewildered that we don't know what God is doing right now in circumstances around us, in our lives. We may feel hurt. We may feel angry. We may feel sad. We may feel this, oh God, why have you forsaken me? Is it wrong to admit these things before God or even to others? No. We can hear Jesus' voice, can't we? From the cross, echoing just those feelings. Oh God, why have you forsaken me? Here God is doing a deep work in us, mysteriously changing us from self-centered beings into characters that will mark the rest of our journey with him. New characteristics. We take on something of a new character that will mark the rest of our journey with him. So, we can understand, can't we, that circumstances of life, circumstances in our lives can bring us to this wall, having come to know God, and that's always a really joyful time, having been discipled, learning the disciplines of a life of faith, having served God in some way, given our life in service to him. We've hit this wall. How do we find our way through the wall? Do you know, it can be difficult to discern precisely when we begin the journey through the wall and when we might be on the other side. I know people who have been through great suffering, yet the wall did not change them. They only bounce back, returning to a similar wall at a later time. Only this time, they were more bitter and they were more angry. You see, if we keep hitting the wall and not learning and not allowing God to do the deep work of transforming us, we're going to keep hitting a wall. And we're going to get more bitter and more angry and more hurt and more disillusioned. Ultimately, God is the one who moves us through the wall. And with that comes mystery. How and when God takes us through is up to him. It's his slow and deep work of transformation in our inner life. But we must make the choice to trust God, to wait on him, to obey, to stick with him, to remain faithful, even when everything in us wants to quit. When everything in us wants to run. So how do we measure our progress through the wall? Well, firstly, we may see that there's a greater level of brokenness in our lives. Christians can notoriously be judgmental in the name of standing up for the truth. But people who've been through the wall have seen that the root and origin of sin is the arrogance in which man wants to be his own and his neighbor's judge, to quote Karl Barth, great theologian. And isn't that the truth? We love to stand in judgment in some way. It makes us feel good if we can say, oh, look at that person there. Then, dear, no. Before we go through the wall, we prefer to exercise the right to determine what's good and what's evil rather than leave this to God. People on the other side of the wall are freed from serving others, freed from judging others. Pride and our tendency to judge others is found in every corner of the world. It's found in every culture. It's found in every workplace, in every playground, in families, in neighbours, in teams, in marriages. It's everywhere. When we become Christians, it doesn't automatically disappear. It only takes on a new face. What might that face be? Their church is small, isn't it? Their church is dead. Their worship is stifled. That worship is forced. That worship's superficial and trite. If only they knew the truth like us. Another way to measure your level of brokenness is how easily and quickly you become offended. This is in contrast to how we can be when we are so secure in the love of God that we don't start to defend ourselves or attack others in return. When we realize that we too are sinners saved by grace, so we have no need to point the finger at others or be alarmed and defensive when they point their fingers at us. Secondly, is accepting a holy not knowing. Do you know what I mean? I like to be in control. I don't think I'm alone in that, but I like to be in control. I like to know where God is going, when and where and how, and all those type of things. I like to know what God is doing. Yet God is also infinitely more than all I know of him. God is imminent, he's close, so close, and yet he's transcendent, so utterly above and far from us. He is knowable and yet unknowable. I can honestly say that the more I know about God, the less I know about God. On the other side of the wall, we can rest more easily and live more freely, knowing that God is in control and worthy of our trust, even when we can't see exactly what he's doing. Accepting a holy not knowing. Thirdly, a deeper ability to wait for God. Growing out of our greater brokenness and our holy not knowing is a greater capacity to wait upon the Lord. The driving, grasping, fearful self-will that must produce, that must make something happen, that must get it done for God just in case he doesn't or can't for some reason, is broken at the wall. Here, like many others, I think my greatest errors have been trying to make things happen rather than wait for God. What does it mean when we read from Psalm 27, verse 14? Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. What's in there? Well, be strong, take heart, and wait. Twice. Wait for God. Abraham learned to wait at his wall. At 75, he was told he would be the father of nations. After 11 years waiting, he took matters into his own hands and had a child by his maidservant Hagar. He had Ishmael. God made him wait another 14 years before the promised child was born. The waiting transformed him into a father of faith for all history. Moses, David, Hannah, all had to wait at their walls. They had to wait for God. Jesus learned to wait in obedience and silence in the wilderness, resisting the temptations to move ahead of his father's time for him. All the temptations were there. Oh, we could have moved, but it wasn't the time. He had to wait for God the Father's time. And so we too need to learn this vital spiritual discipline of waiting upon God. God's ultimate purpose for us is to have a loving union with him at the end of the journey. So, life throws many difficulties our ways, doesn't it? We know that. Perhaps we're feeling that, especially now. Perhaps this has been the most difficult season for you in many, many ways. In the midst of it, let's wait for God. Let's allow him to do that deeper inner healing work in our lives, that transformational work in us, even during this season. And out of that, let us grow into effective, thriving communities of God's people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are doing a deep work in our lives. Help us when it feels perhaps like all is lost, that we just can't understand what's going on, that we feel bewildered in life, in faith. Help us to wait upon you, Lord. Help us to wait and to keep our spiritual ears open to hear what you have to say to us, to be willing to make that journey less travelled, that travelling along the narrow way, as we grow deeper into you, as you show us all that you want us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.